I forgot to bring water up.
Could somebody please do me a favor and get a bottle of water? I usually put a few under there. And there's no more water there. How's everybody? Gotten over colds and coughing and all the other things that we've been concerned about. I finished the book of James. And that is my intention. Oh, no? Oh.
That's me. It's on. To me. And so I put it on, fiddle with it, and I shut it off. I'm not going to go back and say what I said. I finished the book of James, and you go through an epistle or a book from beginning to end. I took the full back to grind, but I'll make it a little clear on what it's because it's absolutely necessary to understand the context. Thanks, Ray. Some very hard portions are made easier. Number two, we need this systematic knowledge of how some of these epistles flow. But the other thing is, it forces us to speak on verses that we might ignore. Now, let me hear. I gave James chapter. And I mentioned and what it was not, all the complications of it. It's easy to step on somebody's foot. It really is. But there are portions that we do not speak on very often. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke on that portion at another assembly. And men said they hadn't heard that either ever or for years. So when you go through a book, you have to study, you have to come up with answers, and you have to make it clear. And so, but I have to be next week here, and then after that, my wife and I will be in Minneapolis area ministering for 3 weeks, Eau Claire, and three chapels in Minneapolis. So, I'm not going to start a book. I thought I would do some themes. So, would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Now, if you've studied 1 Corinthians through, you realize that there are a lot of problems. And quite a lot of problems. And Paul has to answer a lot of questions. Now, he received some information via a letter from a fan, a person in Corinth, bringing up some issues, and that letter contained the issue of some division among them. That comes up in chapter 1. And then he deals with such things as immorality, lawsuits, meat, jealousy, envy, gift of the Spirit, wrong understanding about these things. It's a very interesting book. But before we get the answers to these things, that actually start in chapter 5 and start answering different questions. He's going to tell us that part of the solution is the spiritual condition of the people at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, he mentions three kinds of people. Right? And I'm sure that I'd like to have you look at them. 2 Corinthians 2:14. All right. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually examined, spiritually understood, spiritually judged. Now here's the thing. When you you'll see that all the way through these first four chapters, the Apostle Paul is talking to them about having made some mistake in judgment. Some mistake in thinking that all intellectual people had the ability to communicate the gospel, make it clear. Only intellectual people could give us answers about the things of God. And I want to show you, I don't want to be distracting, but I want to point to you in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, right? There are contentions, quarrels among you. All right? And then, now, I mean this, that each one of you saying, I am a Paul, I have Apollos, I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Now you know how to deal with the problem of following men and holding some as far capable of understanding spiritual truth than others. And he's going to talk these chapters about how God has chosen the foolish things of the world, and how God has made the wisdom of the world confounded it and made it look foolish. And it's interesting because through this portion, he mentions Paul and Apollos again. Actually, up to chapter 4:6. He says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in you might not look not to exceed what is written, in order that no one of you might become arrogant on behalf of one against the other. Now, if you read chapter 1 to 4:6, you'll find he mentions this problem four times. And I think 4:6, it's all part of one context. The contentions that they had were because they were exalting certain men. So the Apostle Paul goes into some teaching here and mentions certain things that are important for them to understand. Now the first person that he mentions in these chapters is, as I said in chapter 2:14, the natural man. They talk about the wisdom of the world being confounded. And he talked about in the world, and in searching for God. And he's making it clear that no matter how intelligent, how smart they are, only the Holy Spirit can reveal it to them. Now, he mentions himself and Apollos four times. You know, Apollos comes from Alexandria. Alexandria was an important place of education, an important place of gathering of some of the most intellectual people from Alexandria, that the Old Testament was translated into Greek. And later on, church history, excellent men came from Alexandria. By the way, they also brought some problems. They brought some disputes from Alexandria, as men thought too much about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not trying, not be able to figure out about this, whether Jesus is God or man, or complications about material things and whatever it is that brought some false doctrines over. So Alexander, though, was a very important part, and Ptolemy, one of the Greek generals, one of the pharaohs, one of them was intellectual, and he wanted a library. And I understand from my reading that he wanted translations of everything people could find any place. He wanted the to be put in Greek and put in the library. So he had a lot of different things, including the scriptures. If I said incorrectly, it was burned. And when the Romans came in and were fighting, it was burned. And to this day, when I read some history books, some of the historians lament that. I wish we could get our hands on it and understand some of the things that were said. So, the natural man here is mentioned first, because many intellectual people do not understand the things of God. In other words, they have no place in Christ. They are unspiritual people. Put it this way, they're not saved. The natural may be intelligent. I mean, look at the inventions and the wonderful things people have done. It's incredible what our world is like. I remember when my grandmother was very, very old. Now, this goes back to the early 70s when I was talking to her. And she was telling me about all the changes that took place in her life scientifically. Airplanes, everything. She said, it's amazing. It goes so fast, I can't keep up with it. You should see what's happened now with computers and other issues. But these people that are natural, what Paul means is that they are people who do not have the Spirit of God. They are not saved. They are living in the realm of the world, and they are under the control of the flesh. And so this is something we will discuss a little bit. But I want to point out the other two men that Paul mentions. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh or carnal men, as to babies in Christ. So there are Christians that are called babies in Christ. And they're called carnal in the old versions. And that means that they are not under the control of the Spirit, that they are conducting their lives and according to the world they live in and what they were before, and taking the viewpoints and judgments of the world. They are believers, but not under the control of the Spirit. And then there's one more, and then I'm going to go back. All right, and he talks in 2:15-16. All right, he talked about the natural man, but this is what he said to the Corinthians. But he is spiritual, appraises all things, judges all things, yet he himself is not judged by no man. He that is spiritual. Now, all we're talking about is somebody who knows the Lord and is seeking to guide their life under the control of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. And they're eternal Christians. And he's not talking about people who put on a spiritual act. He is talking about the fact that there are people who are seeking to live the Christian life the power of the Holy Spirit. They want the Word of God to work in their lives. They don't want to go back and make decisions according to what is known as the old man, the old way of life. So there are three people. Now, the reason Paul mentions the last two is because he recognizes a problem. He's going to get into some really interesting teachings and answers. And it's good to have spiritual perception to understand what he's saying. And one of the things I think he's saying is part of the problem in the Corinthian church. The reason why you have all of this strife and problem and jealousy and going to court against one another and immorality and other things is because you're still carnal. You're still living your lives according to the way you lived before, according to the world. If they can see the first thing they need to do is get and let spirit in the world and seek answers, they probably will not have some of these problems. Why would they permit somebody to live in immorality and approve it and not judge it? And so on and so forth. So, there are three types of people. He wants to mention the natural man, that man that does not know Christ. I don't know if I should assume there are some here today that are natural men who do not know Christ as Savior. But I can tell you this, all of us fit into one of these three categories. And so we'll look at the natural man. Now, according to the way we look at it in Scriptures, and there's a lot of things in the epistles that we could look at, the natural man does not have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit at that moment. Now, you're still a baby and you need to grow, but you receive the Holy Spirit. Well, the natural man is not born again. He's unregenerate. And he's unchanged, spiritually unchanged. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures is referred to as the old man or old self. And I want to make a statement I've made before, and I know that's not agreed by many, many people in Christianity. But the old man and the self, old self, is not the flesh. They are not the same. The old man is what we were before we came to Christ. The old self, under control of something else. And because we're under the control of something else, we are told to put aside the old man. Put off. And sometimes believers think, saying, put off the old man, what he is saying is put off the flesh, get rid of all of these things, and it becomes frustrating and after a while even dishonest. Because there are people who will clearly say, I have this kind of life, victory. And all you have to do is stick around them a little while and you realize that they're still sinners like the rest of us, but redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. According to the Scriptures, Romans chapter 5, and I've got a lot of verses here, so just mark the verses down. It talks about sin entering through Adam, and then sin passed to all people. Now, intellectual people who don't know Christ, others who don't know Christ, like that. Well, one man. And one man passed down to all of us. It's interesting, and I don't know anything about this, of course, but what I read in the paper is that looking at DNA and other things, science wants to go back and back and back and back in our generations. See what's in our families. Help us to understand early on that we might die at 35 of MS or something. I don't want to know, by the way. Okay. But recognize that things are passed on. My hearing loss. What says, and from heaven, measles, and it's true, but it's a small percentage. A hearing specialist at Milwaukee Medical College that I've gone to said, no, can't be. It's inheritance, because my father had the same problem exactly. So it's passed on. Sin is passed on. And when sin was passed on, we would begin to live our lives under sin, under self. All right? So, we're born in sin and we have a bias toward evil. You know how hard it is. We want the world to change. Somehow we think if we can just give everybody a little bit more money, or if we can give everybody this or everybody that, or free this or college or everything, everything's going to be peaceful, and it's not. Communism fell, yay, 1990, and whew, communism is dead, and we always said the big bear, what the big bear bites, he will never give up, speaking of Russia. Now what do we have? Never ends. In fact, we're in more danger now than we ever were ever before. To appreciate divine revelation, because he does not have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is not born again. Okay, so the natural man, the spirit of man which is in him is mankind. Now, man's wisdom can learn a lot of things. There are learned men, cultured men, religious men. Sometimes your professors get up and they make a statement about God or religion, and we're all in awe because they have the degrees. And by the way, I'm not trying to say the degrees are wrong. I'm just simply saying they cannot learn of God just that way. Actors, athletes, writers, scientists. And we become deceived when we think that a non-Christian with advanced on earthly wisdom can get and speak on spiritual things, and we have to listen to them. Many of you might have read last week in the Milwaukee Journal that a picture of a pastor in Milwaukee, Presbyterian minister. He's an atheist. And he uses his church to talk to people and to show them that God doesn't exist. How did that man become a minister anyway? And what was that church building? There was a picture of him in the journal. Did anybody see that? Anybody read it? Man. Fascinating. An atheist. Well, he studied theology. He went to some schools. And now when he makes pronouncements, everybody's in awe. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because he can only be taught by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:17-24 talks about particular matter. It says, for example, Ephesians 4:17-24, and we don't have time to go there and read, mark it down. Talks about, do not walk like the other Gentiles walk. Now, when he uses the word Gentiles there, he is not using it Jews and Gentiles. This is another phrase for the world. And he says they walk in the futility of their mind. He talked about being darkened. He mentions in those chapters, they have know what. Read those, 4:17-24. They're excluded from the life of God. And they're ignorant because of the hardness of their hearts. And so, he said, now, your old self, and then he defines it, which is the old and former manner of living, and put on a new man. And this is very interesting. Paul has a lot to say. So, these people have their understanding darkened and are excluded from the life of God and can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Now, it's in the context of Paul talking about himself, Apollos, and Cephas, Peter. The people were going after certain teachings, teachers. And we are certain teachers. I'm kind of a, I don't know, simple-minded man when I teach. I like to get right down after a period of time to the main point. In Spanish they say, vamos al grano. Let's get down to that little grain of sand. When the meeting's going on too long among the elders or something, you'll see some elder in one of our assemblies in Columbia start getting restless, and you know what he's thinking. Time to get down. He'll say, vamos al grano. Let's get down. That's what I try to do. So the natural man is in Adam. And he does not understand. Now, Paul says, because the Corinthians apparently had a way of judging people on the basis of who they were, from what their education was. Now, not blaming Apollos. Apollos was greatly used, and later on, if you read the epistles, it's very clear that Paul and Apollos were friends, and that Paul had a great respect for Apollos. But you remember, Apollos came from Alexandria, and what was the message he was preaching? The baptism of John. This husband and wife team who were bumming around to different places, mending tents, making tents, who brought Paul in and helped him. They pulled Apollos aside and explained to him, there's something missing. You see, John's baptism is a preparation. It is the final truth. And they explained to him, and Apollos became a believer. And you will see his name here and there in the epistles as being here or there or doing things. And he was used as part of the broader team as he took the gospel out, and as they took the gospel out. So, it's interesting Paul spent so much time talking about this. We preach the gospel, not in wisdom of words. See, he's making a crack about people who gravitate to a certain kind of teachers, not in the wisdom of words. And when we came to you in fear and trembling. We came to you with one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We came to you with what that the cross of Christ is the work of God. And it takes belief, faith, to believe that Jesus Christ died in our place as a Lamb of God without spot or blemish. And the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. And Hebrews, whoever he might be, spent a lot of time proving the superiority of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a terrific book. And he is ready to show his nation the superiority of Christ over the old. And he is saying, in fact, that the old is being done away. He also talked about a new covenant. When Christ broke the bread, they had the Passover, and then he took the cup and broke the bread. I want to tell you this. I don't think they're connected. I think what our Lord was doing was during the Passover, this is the last time, and then he is talking about something new. The dispensational aspect. So it's interesting. This whole issue is interesting. Now the carnal man, the natural man, doesn't grasp the thing of the Spirit of God. It says in 2 Corinthians that Satan blinds the minds of those who do not believe. They've heard the gospel. They immediately bring up objections, and they immediately have arguments, and Satan blinds their minds through pride, through whatever else, education, you name it. And certainly, I'm not trying to say education isn't important. When I go to a doctor, I want to make sure he's studied medicine. And when he starts probing around my body, I want to make sure he knows where he's going and what he's doing. Say, no, I have no problem. And I usually don't ask my doctor if he's a believer. Before I take this doctor, I look and see, okay, he's all right, he's got a good reputation. That's what I want. He's going to start playing with my body. I want to make sure he's doing well. But when it comes to talking to me about spiritual things, if he doesn't know Jesus Christ as the Savior, he doesn't have the understanding he needs. So, the natural man is this unsaved man. And that was who he was preaching to, but he's telling the Corinthians, and he must have seen things in his visit to Corinth that made him realize that they were had a bias toward that. I mean, in court, I understand it was close enough to Athens to have views, and there were different kind of men speaking, giving up, and they themselves, their disciples. Paul knew that stuff, and he figured they're gravitating there, particularly because they made a division about him than Apollos. So there's contentions among you. And as he goes into this book, as I mentioned in the beginning, I think one of the things he simply wants to say, if you're going to understand what I am teaching, you need to be born again. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to have our Lord told the disciples, okay, I'm going away. The Holy Spirit has been with you, and He will in the future in you. And He will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance I have taught you. It is the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers that unlocks these truths. And so the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness in verse 14 of chapter 2. He cannot understand them because they have to be spiritually understood, and the Holy Spirit is the one who will give it to them. All right. So it is important to see that the first person he's dealing with is this. And he's trying to tell the Corinthians, at least first four chapters, at least the start of chapter 4, that they have fallen into the trap of following certain important men. That athlete that's up in the north who doesn't know Christ and makes some statement about God. So he hits home run to throw a touchdown. The what? But we feel compelled to listen. That actor, the scientist, who has done wonderful work, claims there's no God. And it throws people off. And Paul is making it clear that when he came to them, he came in simplicity, mind, knowing only one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, I was going to cover all three of them today. I knew I wasn't going to. Second of all, if I attempted to, I'd run past noon and my wife would have the car in front and I'd have to get in the car and escape very quickly for my life. And next week, the common Christian, the problem, and the spiritual Christian addressed in the beginning. If we handle problems, difficulties, more issues, other issues, and we're going to handle them in a way that God teaches us, we have to be open to listen to what the Spirit says. So I'm going to surprise you and end 5 minutes early. Okay. I want to say this. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you been reading material from people who are not believers and they mock inspiration of Scripture? Now, how can he be inspired? History Channel, you know, Notre Dame says some things. Guy was impressed and he talked about earthquakes and stuff. But as long as it's not identified with God. And there's other things that are important. Listen, you are born in sin. And I was born in sin. It comes to Adam. Okay, I don't know. Because we don't know where Adam is buried, and if we could get a bit of his DNA, why? But it is passed on to us. And we've abided toward evil. And you are struggling to understand something about the religion you were brought in. And you're not quite getting it. You feel like, I just don't quite understand, but I do know that this is the religion I have to stay with. And it blocks your mind from accepting the fact that you're a sinner. You've been baptized as a baby. And when I was in the Catholic Church, I made my first confession, my first communion, my confirmation, and so on and so forth. And I trusted in those. But they meant nothing after a period of time. If you don't know Christ, the reason you do not understand spiritual issues is because you do not have the Holy Spirit working in your life. And I'd like to just invite you today, this morning, to put aside all the stuff, all the things that subtract you from all the people in the world making claims to speak for God, and you come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior now. You come to Him and you admit you are a sinner. Not only have you received this a sin in Adam, but you have sinned and you need the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it's by faith, by grace through faith. so easy. And yet, many of us struggle. I struggled a year and a half. Fighting, arguing, reading. And then I just gave up. And I became a believer. And I began to understand spiritual matters. So, I'd like to point to you that you can come to Christ right now. And that you can come to Christ today. And all the things that have been sidetracking you, the religion, or the authorities on television, or the actors and actresses, and the politicians, and the professors, and all, you come now. Today, you receive Christ as your personal Savior. And you'll be surprised what you begin to comprehend. You'll be surprised how you begin to see things and understand things. Next week, we'll talk about the carnal Christian, one who's a baby in Christ, and we will talk about the spiritual Christian. So, now is the time. Thank you for your word. Paul knew that the Corinthians loved intricate philosophical arguments. They loved these complicated arguments. He knew it's easy for them to be swayed by important men and listen to them and not listen to the Word of God. And he wants to make it clear that, Father, even though there's a difference between his way of presenting things and Apollos' way of presenting things, it's only God who gives the increase. And they work together. Meanwhile, Father, he had to see the Corinthians break down their attitude. If there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know you, and you know that, we may not. Speak to them, we pray in Jesus' name. Oh, amen. Right.